All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects, and as we got accustomed to last week, everybody is somewhere other than where we normally are, with the exception of Nicholas, who's on his one day on in the morning, I guess. Nick's at the studio. Barry and I are at our houses, ready to entertain you for the next 3 hours. Fellas, boy, based on this last citywide and nationwide talk of when this all might be coming to an end, we may not remember what each other looked like by the time we see each other again.
Well, I would say that we would all have beards, but we know I can't grow one. So you guys will have beards, and I'll just look like a hairy woman.
No, I get lectured for that. Like, Lisa's so worried about, like, what touches the baby's head. She's like, you know, you need to shave, because I know you like to, like, kiss the baby on the head, and your whiskers could, like, rub her scalp the wrong way. I was like, really? Come on.
Because you shed. You shed.
No, not that I shed, Nick. It's that I have bristly whiskers when I grow a beard.
Okay.
Yeah. What's up, fellas? How was the weekend? What's going on?
Weekend was good.
Yeah? Did you practice social distancing?
I mean, I didn't go anywhere. We didn't do it. Well, actually, I went to the grocery store Saturday morning, but that was it.
How'd that go?
It was awkward. It was really weird. Showed up at like 7:45. Because HEB opens at 8, and the line was already down the front of HEB around the corner to the drive-thru at the pharmacy when I got in line. And then people started getting in line after me, and it just wound through the parking lot. It was insane.
Seriously?
Yeah. It was like living in a dystopian world or something. I was like, what's going on right now? This is weird. Is this what the bread lines were like in the Great Depression? This is weird.
It gets weirder by the day, but, like, again, this morning I drove by just to see what it was like at our HEB. No line out front. Seemed like everybody was, like, in a very orderly fashion, was passing through. And I don't know if it's, like, pre-weekend there's that push, and then Monday morning everybody kind of just says, maybe later in the week I'll go back. But ours was pretty timid this morning.
Really? Well, not Saturday, but we made it through it. I didn't get stopped. So when they opened the doors, even as far back as I was, we got in. So they were letting at least 30 or something people in. But
Nick, what about
strange.
You? Did you practice social distancing?
Yeah. I mean, I just stayed home. I did more Netflix watching. I finished the Tiger. What was it? Tiger King. Then
Tiger
I
King.
Started ZZ Top. Uh-huh. That was a really good documentary. And now I'm rewatching the first season of Ozark, because season 3 dropped, but I just want to make sure I remember season 1. So I'm binge watching season 1 and season 2 of Ozark now.
How many episodes are there of The Tiger King?
I think 6 or 7. 7.
7.
7.
Yeah.
Barry, are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
I'm midway through the fourth episode.
Shut your whore mouth. Are you serious? Yes.
You're damn right.
How do you like it?
I think Carol did it. I think Carol is filthy. Yeah. I think someone should bring that fat woman to justice. I think that Dr. Dre on 2... I want to know if Dr. Dre on 290 has ever been in a picture with a blonde mullet in his life.
You think he's the Tiger King? That's
I think he
hilarious.
Could be the Tiger King. I think he could be Dre Exotic. I'm just saying. But I was like... I was amazed by, like, all these I thought it was just going to be focused on Joe Exotic, and then as every other character and location is introduced and all this stuff, I was like, oh, my God, it's just like a redneck Olympics. It's unbelievable.
I told you.
Good. It's good. You glad you watched it?
Yeah. I'm sucked in now. There's too many things going on for me to turn it off. But then Lisa, who's the one – Lisa's the one that actually got me started on it, because – I was debating yesterday, because I ran the day before, so I was like, man, my legs don't really feel like running 2 days in a row, but I might ride the recumbent bike. She goes, wait, babe. She goes, I'll go get the iPad and you can start watching that Tiger King. I was like, oh, okay. So once I turned it on, I was on the bike for 90 minutes. I was like, I couldn't turn it off. I kept going. I was like, well, you better be careful now because now I'm locked in. So now I'm in the office this morning and I'm watching it. And she's like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I got the show. I got to be prepared. I got to keep watching this Tiger King. And then she was like, I created a monster. I was like, yeah, in a way, but yeah.
It's a good monster, though. It's great to talk about, and I knew you would like it. I'm glad she likes it, too, though. I was a little worried about her.
Oh, no, she hasn't watched a single second of it.
Oh, she hasn't.
Oh, no, she asked me questions, though. Because believe me, yeah, she'll ask me questions and go, and then she'll go, so now of any of these people and these characters you're telling me about, are any of them, like, really solely focused on saving the cats? And I go, I can't tell you they are. Nope. And I was like, and that in a nutshell is why we are not watching this together. So
that's outstanding.
Yeah. I had to turn it off at 12:30. I'm about halfway through the fourth one, but there's a lot to unwrap there.
When I told you that it progresses from as it keeps going, it gets weirder and weirder. Just wait, because you're just now getting to some of the good parts. It's outstanding. Now, so you think Carol did it? Do you think he's singing the songs that he produced?
No.
Don't.
I don't. I never did. But then we started getting tweets about it too, and I was like, "Yeah, no, uh-uh." You could tell. Well, you know what tipped you off? When he's singing in the truck, he's so off key and so just like. I think halfway through the first sentence, when he realized how bad his twangy singing was, I think he kind of paused as if to go, "Oh God, they're gonna figure it out." But then he just, like everything else, he's like, I don't give a rat's ass. I'm still just going to let it fly.
So what you're telling me is...
Oh, here he is.
Yes!
Mama's got some treats for you.
Oh, it's so good. Are you telling me that you don't think he's going to win Tiger Idol? I mean...
You know, it's so funny because... I was kind of tricked. I don't know if you were tricked, babe, but I actually thought it was this voice. I should have known
too.
It wasn't. And then I talked to Jason Braddock about it. He was like, nope. And then Eric Gladen, when he was on with the bench, he was like, no way. And then a third person told me, he's like, no way, bro. That is not his voice. But it's I don't think it is either. I mean, look, I mean, those are some pipes.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So here's what I was at first. I was like, that doesn't sound like him. But listen to my logic here. When you hear people from like Britain or like England or Ireland or Scotland sing in English, they don't sing with an accent. They sound, forgive the term, but they sound American. There's no English accent or you know, British accent or Scottish accent or whatever, right? So who's to say that his voice wouldn't change the sound of it when he sings? Because he has that twang, you know, he's like, I think Carol did it. But then when he could sing and that could go away. That was my only logic in wanting to believe it, because I really wanted to believe it.
Me too, because it would have been way better if he actually sang, yes. Like if he knew how to sing and that was his voice.
Oh, my God.
I feel like if he was, it was really his voice, like at different parts of the of episodes, he'd have, you know, grabbed a guitar. He would just start, you know, sing, because most singers – like, take, for instance, with the coronavirus now, and everybody's doing these virtual concerts and singing online and things like that. Singers sing all the time, because I'm fine with you. I agree with you. That's fine. You can sing and not have a twang, but you have to be able to carry a tune. And when he was in the truck, I was like, yeah, no, uh-uh, no chance.
Well, maybe he didn't sing it, but he definitely wrote the lyrics. There's no doubt in my mind there.
Yeah, that's
listen to this stuff.
Got a little crazy, got a little hazy, and the cops said there's something wrong here.
Isn't that fantastic?
That's so good.
That's the best lyrics ever. He definitely wrote the lyrics. He may have not sung the song, but he definitely wrote
it. Oh, sure. Yeah, I definitely think that's a possibility.
That bitch did it. Like, oh, God. Because the way he would talk about her was just outstanding.
Oh my God.
So good.
Yeah, but there's so – you're right. You guys are right. There was so much to uncover, and so much kept coming. It's like at first you just thought this was just this redneck reality show of just showing how completely twisted the whole thing was. And then when there starts to be a plot and there starts to be all this stuff, and you're like, oh, my God, really?
Yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving all the way through now. I'll be interested to see what you think at the end because, I mean, you obviously know he's talking from in jail.
From in jail, right, yeah.
So now you saw where Cardi B started a GoFundMe to free the Tiger King?
I did not.
That's hilarious.
But,
yes.
But did you see that Shaquille O'Neal was getting heat all over on Twitter this weekend because he said on an off day he went – I don't know how long ago this was, but he was like, on an off day – shout out to my man Joe Exotic. I went and got me two more tigers.
Oh, and so
then people thought that like Shaq and Joe Exotic were buddies, and then he had to quit. He sent out a tweet this weekend going, "All y'all need to just settle down, okay? We're not friends. I just bought some tigers."
That's so funny.
But why is everybody so mad now? Like with this, when he was clearly playing when he went. Back in the day. Not only that, he called him Exotic Joe instead of Joe Exotic. So, like, calm down, people. Like, you guys are so mad now.
Why aren't people more mad that he bought a damn tiger? Like, nobody should be buying tigers.
No, and that's the thing, too, because that's the thing Lisa said. She's like, it's still illegal, I'm pretty sure, in every state for you to breed and sell exotic animals like that. I was like, I don't know, but they're doing it like it's going to the grocery store. It seems like they're just having a field day. And the thing that to me is so hypocritical about Carol is she's out to get Doc and Joe Exotic all the time, but everything that they uncover about her is she's just a different location of the same exact thing going on.
See, that was my problem. Is she such a hypocrite about the whole thing? Because she's like, oh, they're over there petting. Well, bitch, you charge people to get in, too. What's the – you're exploiting tigers for a profit. What is the difference?
And exactly. The one thing Lisa asked was, well, in hers, the animals aren't caged, though, right? It's just you might be lucky to see when I go, oh, no.
They're caged.
Yeah, they're just bigger cages, but they're there. She goes, yeah, that's not right. I go, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's a travesty. It's a travesty, a mockery what that lady is doing.
I completely agree. And she is dirty. Yeah, but okay. All right. I did my homework, at least most of it.
Thank God. I am so proud of you, bud.
Thank you. There's lots of stuff that we can get to and uncover from that to, well, if you've seen any remnants of sports you'd like to talk about, we're here for you. But we're going to be here for the next 3 hours, so hopefully so you will be too. Nick in the studio, Barry and I from the house. It's the Usual Suspects. And if you want to reach us, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number. Reach us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a gay. We are the Usual Suspects. Just getting started, ESPN 97.5. I saw Tiger
Summit. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the opening half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel, Monday in the big city as we get used to the new norm of separate yet together as we continue to keep the suspects moving along during these crazy times. I was a little bit surprised, and yet I wasn't, that they put another deadline down. Obviously, the president was wishful thinking that by Easter we would somewhat be back to normal. But then this weekend to say it looks like it'll at least be the month of April. I was like, man, that's a long time. We haven't even gotten to April 1st yet. We're talking about another month. And I mean, I think honestly, guys, when looking at all this, even if they start sorting out the virus itself and how to get their arms around it and control of it, whatever, I just don't see how any of the major sports get going before June.
Yeah, I don't know why he thought Easter. I mean, he obviously you know, he's trying to put the best spin possible in all this, but I just feel like he's not, he wasn't being realistic, or maybe not listening to the right people, because most people were saying there's no way. I mean, we haven't even hit the peak yet. The testing is just ramping up, and, you know, resources are scarce. So yeah, it is disappointing, but you know, I kind of fussed at a couple of different people this weekend because people are still getting together. And I was like,
yeah, they are.
I don't know if John and Lance are still going to each other's houses or not, but it's just not smart at this point. There were some comics that are doing a show every Friday and they go to one guy's house. And I'm like, guys, this defeats the whole purpose. And I'm going to tell you why. This is a bit serious for a second, but I had an exposure and wasn't aware of it. So, and I don't want to go into details because I don't want to give away the person, but it was a pretty innocent thing a couple of weeks ago that I was around someone that ended up having it. So we don't know when exactly they contracted it, but it was an innocent thing where I was just like, oh, well, there was only, you know, four or five people in the room at the time, but it just doesn't matter because you just don't know. So if you can stay home and do like what we're doing, or if you can, you know, communicate or do those things, man, just do it, because the sooner that everybody just stays home and stays put until this settles down, the faster it's going to be over with. Because getting
you're
together
absolutely
right
now
is just dumb.
I mean, they had on the news, the mayor was literally out at that park off of Allen Parkway where Lisa used to live, right butted up against that park. And I'm like, there's no way there's going to be people out there. Not only were there people out there, there were just like every 20 yards, there was another group of more than 10 people. And then I went to the grocery store, and when I came back, there's like four parents standing and 10 kids with their bikes and stuff on the sidewalk. And I'm going, well, that's not exactly what we're supposed to be doing here either, people. Mm-mm. And then this weekend, I took Taylor with me, and we just drove by this park, and I looked down. There's like the dog park is full. People are all kind of congregating in open areas, and I'm going, you either just don't get it, or you don't want to do the right thing, because it's just not intelligent.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And here's the scary thing with my wife and my sister-in-law both being in the medical profession. One works at a hospital, and obviously my wife is a nurse, but you start hearing reports of symptoms, and the symptoms range so spectacularly that you may have it and not even know, because mm-hmm. some people report, oh, I just had a bit of a headache for a couple of days and that was it. And some people are like, well, you know, I had a dry cough, or I had a fever, or I had diarrhea, and not all of those things could, it may just be one or two of those things. And there was a reported case where people were just, you know, they just felt lightheaded, or it's just there's all kinds of crazy things going on that doctors are like, man, there's really no set symptoms. I mean,
no,
you can have
not.
It and not have any symptoms. So you just don't know if you're a carrier or not, or if you have it or not. Because people are like, well, I've had allergies, so that's why I have a headache or whatever. Well, that might be true, but it, you know, it might not be. So it's best to just avoid people for now, unfortunately.
Now, and that's what I said. I wake up every morning with the paranoia of like, see, because I do have allergies. So I'm always checking like my breathing, and then going, you know, checking the symptoms and going, do I have a headache? Do I have this? Do I have that? But it's not like paranoia. It's just like trying to do the right thing and be safe about it. Because I told Nick kiddingly, I think Lisa's had it 14 different times, because she's one of those people that wakes up every day and like immediately lets me know what's, you know, there's something that's not right. And so I was like, Lisa, I guess it's because I just didn't sleep. My head hurts. Oh, I've got this. Oh, I got that. I go, oh, I mean, don't make me feel any more better or comfortable, because if you got it or get it, I'm getting it. So I don't like to hear that stuff either, because I'm constantly checking myself to make sure that I don't have any of those symptoms.
Yeah, it is scary. And I'll mess with Nora because she'll cough, or she'll be like, oh man, my head kind of hurts. I'll be like, oh, you got that Rona. She'll be like, don't play like that. Like,
yeah, that's the one I won't do, because I'm like, I'll jinx it. I'll mess around with somebody on it, and then I'll be the next to get it. And I think that's the other thing that really, until you have this, realize the severity, because someone you know has dealt with it. Like, I have two people I used to work with that have posted on social media and have kind of highlighted the trials and tribulations of having had it and gotten over it. And you kind of go, whoa. And then as you actually, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of thing. But the closer you get to someone that has it, that's when the reality, I think, sinks in more of, I really got to take this seriously.
Yeah, that was when I got the message that, hey, just FYI, there's this person had it. You were around this person. That's when it got real for me. I almost cursed. It got real for me real fast where I was like, wow, you just don't know. And the last thing I want to do, because Nora has asthma, so the last thing I want to do is bring it home and get my wife sick, which it may not affect me at all because my lungs are healthy. But with hers, it could be devastating. So I was like, man. And she went back to work now, so that's scary. So, dude, it's just crazy times we live in, man. It's like, I'm telling you, it's like living in a movie. It's just really crazy.
It really is. And I mean, and having a 5-month-old kid, too, that's the other side of it, where you flip out worry because you don't know if her immune system is strong enough. So, you know, it's just, you got to be careful out there. And as Barry said, just be border on cautious side on everything right now and do the right thing so that hopefully this we get out of this quarantine sooner rather than later. But, okay, there's enough of the corona talk for this portion of the program. We'll continue to roll on. You guys want to join us? You know how to reach us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We'll get to a whole bunch more as we continue to roll on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
'Cause I saw a tiger, now I understand.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, it's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday as we get you started on your week and hopefully provide a little entertainment and levity to what can be a bit crazy at times. I just retweeted this, guys, but if you need any more reinforcement why you just need to follow instructions, stay at home, and do what they're asking you to do, this Jessica Peck, she's a doctor and pediatric nurse. She sent out this picture with a side view of how far back they have to put that swab thing into your nose and basically all the way where it feels like it might be tickling your brain cells to as an indication of maybe this is why you want to practice everything that they're telling you to do so you can avoid having that thing jammed all the way through your snoot.
Ugh.
It ain't pretty.
I won't have a problem with my big ass nostrils.
Nick, it's not the entry. It's the distance once it enters the nasal cavity.
Jeez.
Yeah, if you check that picture out, Nicholas, it's
no.
Not
I,
so good.
I checked it out the first time you told me about it. I was like, ugh, I don't even know if I want to get tested. That's terrible.
That doesn't sound like fun. I'm out on getting nasal swabbed.
Well, and the funny thing was during the break, I checked Twitter, and Pink Valkyrie is out like, yeah, we went to Minute Maid Park yesterday, and it was a ghost town. It was bizarre. I said, were you on your way to the grocery store or the gas station? And she was like, nope, neither. Okay, so sightseeing, okay.
Yeah, stop it.
Man,
if you have kids, parents are literally being driven crazy. And I'm not speaking for Joel here, but I'm just saying, you hear it on the news, you know about the domestic violence, but like, kids are like outside the violence stuff. Kids, like parents, are going crazy. They're going insane.
No doubt. Absolutely right. And, you know, I don't know if it's the combination of like the pollen in the air, which a lot of people are having an issue with. And then after it rains, it's hard. Parents don't want the kids to go out and get all wet. And, you know, if they ride their bikes and all that other stuff, too. So it's like it's been like a catch-22 for the parents because you're looking for stuff for the kids to do. And I know that, like with us, like Taylor is constantly Skyping with her cousins in California, and they're kind of sending like, this is what I did today videos. Like I had Taylor in the back working on like volleyball and catching the ball and things like that. And then they'd send back, hey, Taylor, here's us playing basketball and doing this and that. And then, you know, it kind of then she'll be like, hey, Daddy, can we do what the guys did yet? Yeah, sure, we'll go give it a shot. But at least it keeps her active in the driveway because literally it, for all parents, this is their worst nightmare because, you, as Lisa said, you appreciate teachers a whole hell of a lot more for the fact that it's not just one, but each teacher having like 20, 30 kids in their classroom keeping them occupied all day is nuts.
Yeah, I oof. And then to try to do it online, the teaching, I don't know. I have teacher friends and they're like, this is going to be awful. They said that there were some kids that are already doing like online learning where they're just, you know, being disrespectful because they're not there.
Yeah, it's
like,
hilarious. Oh, it's hilarious.
I can see that. Oh, I don't know. I'm glad I do what we do and not what, you know, teaching because I wouldn't. I there's no way I could do that job. I don't have the patience to be a teacher. I just know that for a fact.
I'm with you in the fact that because you know, like, and I don't want to sound like that guy, but you know that there's always the kids that now just feel invincible, that just feel like they can clap back and they can come at you no matter who you are, regardless of what your position of authority is. And I would lose my stuff. I would be like, are you talking to me that way? And then things would get interesting. So yeah, I'm with you. They have to have the patience of a saint and yet the dedication to make sure that kids aren't just in attendance, but they're actually learning something and taking away something from what they're teaching.
And they don't get paid. So
true.
They get paid, but it ain't much.
Yeah, absolutely right there. So yeah, I'm with you. You know, the parents are having a tough time. Nick, I mean, you're a single guy. I mean, the weekend, you're coping with all of this okay?
I mean, it's Netflix. Like I've pretty much, it's going to get to the point where I've watched everything on Netflix. Netflix is probably, they should be busy. They should be updating their content all the time because you can't be talking about Joe Exotic for 3.5 weeks. I mean, it's going to get to the point where it's like, oh, what do I do? I did go for a little run, but.
Oh,
did you?
Yeah, for about 2.5 blocks, and then I turned right back around. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to do.
Well, that is true. That is very true.
Somebody on the text line, Nick, since you mentioned it, they said, is that Nick's pickup line here, kitty, kitty, daddy's got a treat? Is that your pickup line?
It's not, but if Joe Exotic did it, I wouldn't be mad at him.
Would you go gay for Joe Exotic?
He's TV gold. There's never a dull moment with Joe Exotic. Let's be real.
He's literally the most entertaining and fascinating person. I see why straight dudes go gay for him, because it's like, wow.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, well, that and he's probably got some really good meth to keep him, you know, laced up. But, oh, my God, I get it. I totally get why people are fascinated with the guy. And, you know, I'm not saying I would go gay all the way. I might experiment. He's a cool dude.
But wait a minute, time out. I mean, you've got either extreme because you've got him and then you've got this cult with Doc in South Carolina with what, 5 wives and they each got their own house and he doesn't have to tell you how he socializes with each one of them. And even the chick that got away seems like one, she still slept with him. And two, like
banged him.
Yeah. There are still things that she's like, well, you know, this part of it was still really good. I'm going, how can that be good for you?
Yeah. That one was a weird one, which I feel like there's going to be multiple seasons of this because you could probably just do a whole season on that guy that had like all the hot hoes hugging tigers and making calendars. You could probably do another season. I forget the dude's name, the one that stole Joe's zoo from him and then the fight that he got in with
Jeff
old Lowe. Boy.
Or
yeah.
Lowe.
And then you could do the one, you could do Carol. Yeah, you could do a whole season on Carol and, you know, the murderer, allegedly, and all that. It's fascinating. I think they're going to keep going. How could they not? This is probably just getting all kinds of...
And what's the guy that used to be setting himself on fire and everything on, like, Inside Edition, the Rick Kirkham
Richard Pryor?
Or whatever? No. This guy that has basically the same kind of teeth as one of Joe's husbands, but he was on Inside Edition, and now he said where he said how he almost it was almost like a setup where he said, look, I didn't give a rat's ass about what I was filming for his internet show. I just knew that part of the agreement was behind him was my documentary crew, and I knew I was going to have $1 million series on my hands, and I'm going, I don't know how you saw it completely like that, but there's no doubt it's not it, – you're not even done yet. $1 million now, and he's still going to make money because now people are so damn dialed into this that there is no end in sight. They want more. They're going to be clamoring for it.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And that dude was a genius to recognize it because, oh boy.
It's hard to find content amazing like that, and then let alone talk about reality, but the fact that that's real life and you can't make that stuff up because some of it's so crazy, you're like, my God, it is a gold mine. And then I don't know if you guys heard this, but over the weekend, one of his two husbands, the one, the older of the two, that's all tatted up, he's ticked because they, every interview they do with him, you can see he's only got about three teeth. And evidently he got like his whole mouth redone and everything like that. And everybody keeps saying that he got his teeth, he lost all of his teeth because of meth and all these other things. And they're like, you guys don't know. And they should have mentioned the fact that I got my teeth fixed and I'm better now and stuff like that. I was like, you know what? I think they got a pretty accurate perception of who you are, Chief.
Yeah. I think we know, we can spot meth mouth a mile away.
Yeah. Meth mouth who has a tramp stamp on the other side pointing down to let everyone know what's Joe Exotics. That's a bit of an indication you probably were a little lubricated at some point. Jeez.
So good.
All right.
So good.
We're just rolling through for the first hour of a three-hour show with plenty more to get to. So if you guys want to join us, as you've been doing on the text line, come on in, 713-780-3776. You can call, text, or hit us on Twitter. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's The Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, getting ready to put the wraps on the first hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you all the way till 4, so never fear, there's 2 hours here to still go as Barry and Nick and myself get you caught up to date with everything going on, sports and otherwise. I guess a little sports here in the fact that the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as well as Bruce Arians, has said that Tom Brady basically put the sales pitch on them to convince them that he wanted to play in Tampa, and that he literally on the first call basically told them why in an hour and a half he was very, very interested, and it was almost like he was recruiting them to be on board with him coming to the Buccaneers. I mean, based on going from Jameis Winston, and regardless of how many touchdowns he had, the 30 picks, to a guy that's won as much as Brady has won, and you know you can count on to manage the game and make better decisions. I don't know that it's that big of a tough decision there. As long as he says he's interested, come on down.
Do you believe that?
I kind of do, because I think that there were a lot more variables in this situation than most guys that are still in free agency and younger. Because with Giselle, they had said that the kids were enrolled in school in New York. So as much as everybody said he's a California kid, he wants to go home. He had basically ruled out anything West Coast because the plan was to stay as close to East Coast proximity to New York, whether the kids stayed in school there or not. And I guess a lot of the different things they have going on the East Coast, like his TB12 Academy and all these other things. So it kind of narrowed it down. And then when you started factoring in, okay, well, what other teams qualified based on some of those limitations, it just seemed like the list wasn't as long as people might have thought. And, of course, he still wants to win. And with all the offensive weapons that Tampa has, I mean, I think it made a lot of sense if it made sense to Tampa, because you just don't know. Their reputation isn't exactly, let's just say they're kind of frugal. And You don't know what their thought process was about, do they feel like they were in a position where they were ready to win now? But they do have a ton of young talent and a lot of talented skill position players. So, I mean, I kind of believe it, I guess. You don't?
No, I'm not buying it. I think that Tom Brady was out there talking to multiple teams. And while he may have made his case to multiple teams in a way, I think it was ended up being a bidding war. And it ended up being a decision for Tom and his family based on, you know, factors for their, you know, their style of living and all those things. So, yeah, I don't think that it was basically – I mean, the way it sounded to me based on those headlines and stuff was like Tom was begging them to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I doubt that.
I don't think Tom was begging anybody to play there, but I told you already – like last week, that there was the article that Jeter, who had made the transfer, you know, made the transition from New York to Tampa, and a few key civic leaders, I guess, and people that had a lot of businesses in the Tampa area, took Brady to dinner so that they can convince him about all the different opportunities off the field and to invest in and otherwise, and that helped as well. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think that the other thing was, like I said, I don't think the list was all as long as people thought. I think there were a few choice teams that felt like he could make a difference, but I don't think it was like 8 to 10 teams, but he had to have at least a few so that, like you said, he could get top dollar, which he's never gotten before.
Okay.
I mean, he hasn't gotten top dollar a lot because he kind of made that choice, and right. maybe to what Barry was saying, there might have been a bidding war in that regard. I do know that Bruce Arians did in fact say on record on ESPN that of the quarterbacks that they thought were available, Tom Brady was ranked number one, and that was the number one quarterback that they would go after in the event that Tom Brady saw Tampa Bay as a possibility, as an option. And so it might have been a little bit of both. It may have not. Maybe Tom Brady didn't beg. Maybe he just lobbied because he did kind of know Tampa did have the weapons. But clearly Tampa Bay was in a win-now situation, and that's why Tom Brady was ranked number one. Because if they weren't in a win-now situation, they probably would go for somebody
else. I saw what you were saying, Nick, but the thing that really kind of took me aback by that exact kind of discussion with Arians was the fact that he said when they looked at the tape, that not only did Brady have plenty of arm left, which if you were looking at the end of last season in the regular season, and they were saying he literally kept everything under 20 yards of distance in passing situations. But for Bruce Arians to say he had plenty of arm left, and we thought that he fit Bruce's system ideally in terms of his ability to throw the deep ball and throw it downfield, I was like, man, I don't know that I would have said that either, simply because of the fact that there were so many rumors out there about him having arm problems.
Yeah, that is a good point. That's the other thing is how concerned were they? But I don't know. It's, you know, based off of what Nick said about, hey, well, you know, he's our number one guy. That leads me to believe that it was Tampa initiating it. Yes, we want you to come play for us. What do you think? Now, he may be like, oh, yeah, you know, I would be a good fit because, but I don't know. It just seems a little sketchy to me to say that they had to be the ones or he had to be the ones that convinced them. I'm not buying that.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. But, you know, regardless, I mean, I think it puts Tampa back on the map because they have not been relevant for quite a while. And I think that from an ownership standpoint with the Glaziers, you look at the situation and say, yeah, we're going to pay him more than we were paying Jameis. But also the fact that from merchandise sales to marketing opportunities, popularity. I mean, look, I know firsthand working in a front office, when you get a massive, you know, boost by getting a big-time player, everything changes in terms of your radio deal, your TV deal, the amount of side shows that you can do for coaches' shows, player shows, magazine-type shows. Before, when you were just kind of the same team you were year after year, the luster wears off. People go, eh. But all of a sudden, you know, you add a Tracy McGrady or a Yao Ming or a Dwight Howard or Jeremy Lin even or guys like that. And all of a sudden it's like we want to do, a Jeremy Lin show. We want to do, you know, a year in the life of Yao. We want to, and they're paying for all this stuff. And as an ownership group, you go, you know what? I can make back a lot of this, and I can put our franchise back on the map in terms of national and international notoriety.
You're crazy. It was all Tom Brady suggesting how he would be a fit to them.
I think it was a match made in heaven, Barry. It was mutual admiration. They were courting each other.
No, I mean, you have some really good points, especially about the how it changes your franchise. Because, I mean, I didn't even think about that, but it's a great point. Like, they get to do all kinds of cool stuff now because they have Tom Brady. No one cared about Jameis Winston and the things that he, you know, was talking about or what he wanted to do. You can't be – look, you could be a 30-for-30 guy, but only after your career when ESPN does a special on you, not in season when you throw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. So it certainly is exciting, I think, for Tampa Bay and their fans. And hell, they replaced the face of their logo with Tom's face on a T-shirt. That's how excited they are.
I saw that. Yeah, the old school logo, the old school Buccaneer with the knife in his teeth with Brady's face is pretty badass, I must say.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, shout out to Francisco, that our loyal listener, who sent us a tweet that said, had to take a break from the store. He works in the grocery store. Listening in my car, thank y'all for doing what y'all do to help us get away from life for a little bit. No, thank you, because whether the people you work with and go to the stores realize it or not, you are putting your health on the line every day to help those that are in need of groceries and supplies. Because I saw this morning Amazon, and I want to say one other distribution-based company, the employees are ready to go on strike because they say that they're only worried about capitalizing right now when everybody is ordering everything online. And then I don't know about you, Barry, when you went to the store, but when you go to HEB now, not only is it about the social distancing when you're waiting in lines and checkout, but the actual checkout clerks have like a plexiglass square.
I will say this. The lady that was bagging my groceries was a little dramatic about the whole thing. Because I went to – she was trying to figure out – because I had one of those little mini carts, you know, the two-story mini carts. She's like, how'd you get all this stuff in this one cart? I was like, I'm an expert, just joking around. So she was trying to put it all in there. She couldn't. So I walked over there to, like, move something that was in her way. She goes – she jumped back. She was like, back up, sir. Back up, sir. I was like, what the hell? Like, it was like SWAT team, like a police officer. Like, it's like, oh, Lord, no, Jesus. She was like, back behind the glass. I was like, oh, my God, I'm about to run you over with this cart, you overly dramatic woman. I mean, I get the paranoia.
Right.
The funny thing is, to me, it was because she wouldn't let me get close to her. Then the cashier was like, sir, you have to stand behind the glass until I tell you to pay. I was like, okay. So then they're bagging the groceries, and I go to put my cart in. She goes, sir, we're not done bagging your groceries. Back behind the glass. I'll tell you when you can pay. I was like, oh, my Lord. But they don't care about being 2 feet from each other. I'm like, this makes no sense.
No, but I was kind of kidding around with them when I saw it, too.
You idiots.
Yeah, I was kind of kidding around with the cashier, too. Like, they're not really going to take this as seriously. Same thing from her. Like, she was dead serious going, stay behind that glass, sir. Please do not move to the right. Do not you enter your card in the machine until I tell you. I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so there's lessons learned in the first hour of the show as we will roll on. If there are other things you want us to get to, something on your mind you want to get off your chest, even share with us some of the oddities and craziness of what's going on with the coronavirus these days and time. 713-780-3776 or hit us on Twitter. Hour number two comes up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, what the hell?
Ain't this some
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.